Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. I'm actually probably not going to read all of that, but you can definitely take a look at the rest that we don't read, but definitely 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and following. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. For if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. As if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that it lacked, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. My grandfather and then had a lot of tools. He was a textile mill manager in New Hampshire. I think we talked about that in one of the groups this week. But his passion was wood carving. And so he was one of those people, and I know there are some of you here that I won't point at, have a lot of tools in their work areas. And my grandfather was one of those, and he passed it on to my dad. My dad inherited all those tools when his dad passed away. And I remember going into my dad's workshop as a little kid, and I needed, you know, a screwdriver to fix one of my toys or maybe put new batteries into something. And it was always pristine. And all the screwdrivers were in one area, and I'll stop there because I don't know the name of any other tools. But when I would borrow one, my dad would say to me, and maybe other people have this, put it back where you found it. Anybody hear that? Maybe that was kitchen for other people or lots of things. Put it back where you found it. I was like, Dad, chill out. But he's made sure that it was put back where he found it. He would say, and this was his great quote, you maybe heard, there is a place for everything and everything in its place. Okay, good. I love it when I share these things. I don't feel so alone. Well, that phrase, there's a place for everything and everything in its place, is not just for tools in the workbench area, but God designed the church to work in this certain way as well. God has put things in an order, and where every person is where they should be and doing what they should be doing, things will work the way that God has designed. Each and every child of God has a place in the body of Christ. My goal, my hope for each of us is to identify what that place is and that we would find ourselves serving faithfully where the Lord has us to be. But today I want us to consider the thought, a place for everyone and everyone in their place. The church in Corinth was struggling with spiritual believers who were kind of new to the faith. They were lots of problems, a lot of division. If you read through 1 Corinthians, division comes up over and over again. They were a bit of a mess of a church. And one area that caused division was this idea of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those had been given, you know, everyone had been given these spiritual gifts. Every one of us has been given gifts, talents to be used by God. And there were some problems in the church in Corinth. There was jealousy, pride, envy, and arrogance. And the jealousy and envy stemmed from the fact that they felt others had better or more important gifts. And the pride and arrogance came from the fact that some felt their gifts were in fact better and more important to the church. Here in this chapter, Paul sets out to clarify that each gift is vital to the health of the body. He wanted the Corinthians to understand that there was a place for everyone and that everyone should be in their place. In order to illustrate this point, he compared the church in this whole scripture to the body of Christ, to a literal physical body. The body of Christ has many parts, and it is God who calls each of us and calls us into community and wants us to be a part, and all are crucial. The human body has ears, eyes, hands, feet, and many other parts. And there are many parts, but it's all one body. The eye can't say to the hand that it's not needed, right? The head can't say that it doesn't need feet, and all are important because they can't do anything on their own. Like hands without a brain or brain with no lungs. You know what I mean? Okay, good. This means that sometimes the parts of the body that seem to be the least important are most necessary. When each part of the body works together, it produces harmony. When one part of the body hurts, the whole thing hurts, right? Somebody said God gave us toes that we would find furniture in the middle of the night. Have you stubbed your toe and pain ran from the foot all the way up to your head? Sometimes the pain makes the whole body hurt. This is just the way that the human body works. It's the same true for a unified church where one person suffers, we all do. And when one person rejoices, we all rejoice together. Regardless of our place of service, our gifts, our abilities, we are special, as we talked about at Kids Corner. Our ministry is special. Our position is special, especially considering that God chose you for that specific ministry. So I'd like to begin by seeing the importance of our area in service and our spiritual gift. I think the most important thing is that we don't underestimate our importance in the body of Christ. In every area of life, there are different groups of people. You know, think back to high school, and if that's too long ago, I'm sorry, you have to still think about it. There were different groups of people, right? In mine, there were different cliques. We called them cliques. I don't know if that was a new thing. We had hippies, which I'm in Maine, so it was pretty much all hippies. But we had rednecks, you know, jocks, preppies, gothics, goths, and the academics, the nerds, things like that. Here in America, we have all these other things, economic classes, right? Poor, middle class, upper middle class, lower middle class, upper class, lower class, all these ones, so you can keep going, right? But even all those distinctions, all those different things, we're all still what? We're all still Americans. And in the body of Christ, we're all one body. We all become a part of the family of God the same way, and we're all welcomed in through grace by faith. We're members of Christ's body only because of God and God's love. No one's more deserving of salvation than anyone else. No one is more deserving of being here than anyone else. We're no more a part of a body than anyone else. Likewise, no one is more deserving of all these things than we are. No one else is more saved than we are. No one's more a part of the body than we are. We're all equal in importance, but we're not all the same. We don't have the same gifts. We don't have the same talents. We don't have all the same calling. Some positions may be more visible in ministry, but they don't make them more important. Maybe you look at your gift in your area of service and you think you're insignificant, but we're wrong. We are part of something bigger than ourselves. That's what Paul reveals to the Corinthians in these verses. It's a really funny, actually, some of this parts of Scripture, because Paul describes a conversation among the body. We hear what the foot has to say, and then we hear what the ear has to say, and then in verse 21, the eye's talking to the hand, the head's talking. Can you imagine, envision that happening? If your body parts are talking to each other, we have to talk after church. But the irony is that it's seen as the fact of the foot, ear, and the eyes, they can't talk. So I can't wonder, maybe they're all jealous of the mouth in that case. But there's no room, as Paul says, there's no room for pride or arrogance in the body. There's no need for jealousy or envy in the body. There are some people who can get jealous or get angry. They're not asked to do a certain thing. Then there are others who faithfully serve an area, but they'll look at other people and wish that they had their gifts and their talents. This happens in places all over, not just in churches, but in all the different things that we do. It's a lot like the Dr. Seuss great story, the star-belly sneeches. The sneeches, everybody know that story? That they have stars on the R's and some do not. If you don't, you should read it. But it's a great story about people wanting to be like the other sneeches. And then they kind of come through and this guy finds a way to kind of exploit the desire to have a star on their belly or not on their belly, and you can Google it later. There are those who feel because they don't have a specific role or title, they're not a part of it, but that's not true. God has placed each one of us, each one of you, all of us, into this body of Christ. Let us to be a part and to use these gifts and these talents. The thing is that we don't think about is how crucial each of us are to making this place the place that it needs to be. God's given you gifts, talents, and abilities, even though it may not be what you consider in front or in like the most, you know, well-known or place of praise. The place of service is the place of service nonetheless. If you're preaching, maybe preaching to dozens, hundreds, or thousands of people at one time, but I'm always just preaching to an audience of one. Those who sing, maybe singing to dozens, hundreds, or thousands of people, but they're actually singing to who? The audience of one. Though we are serving and ministering to others, we're doing it for who? God. This keeps us from worrying about other people and other people's gifts, other people's talents. All that I do, you do, we do for God. It's the forces of evil that whisper in our ear that say you're wasting your time, telling us that no one sees what you're doing, no one cares what you're doing. It wants us to believe that all we do is pointless and foolish and a waste of our time. Ever felt that way before? We have moments and times when we get frustrated, discouraged, when we don't receive the accolades, but, you know, we have to always keep our proper perspective. When we make the main thing the main thing, when we are doing what we are supposed to do, it's never in vain for God. It doesn't matter what we're doing, it's important to God. He's the one who chose you, called you, and equipped you to serve. And if he gets the glory, you are a success in his eyes, even if no one sees the things that we do. You have an essential place in the body of Christ. And each one of us, each thing that we do contributes to the whole. The eyes let us see, the ears let us hear, the hands let us touch, the feet take us where we need to go. If the body were just one part and not, you know, and could not work together, it wouldn't function. Warren Wiersbe once said, "I suppose I could learn to walk on my hands, but I prefer to use my feet." The hand cannot do what the foot does, the arm cannot do what the leg does, the eyes cannot hear, the ears cannot see, but they all do when they work together. That is because God designed it that way, and the same is true for this, our body of Christ. It works because God designed it that way. You ever, you know, like we said, been envious of people in different positions or desired to have a special gift or specific gift that other people's have? Have you looked at your own spiritual gift and felt that it wasn't up to snuff? Maybe we've gone so far as to complain or, you know, we can't do what someone else does. Terry Tribbett says the reality is that our complaints of insignificance or inadequacy are just toward the body around you. They're actually directed towards God. If we're where God has called us to be, doing what God has called us to do, then it will benefit the kingdom, it will benefit the body, and there's no greater gift or talent that one God has blessed you with that are needed for this time and this moment. That every single thing that you're able to do is given to you by God and for a very specific, important purpose. But not only is our place in the body essential and beneficial, it's special. Each of our gifts are special because it's God that gives us. The reason that you preach, maybe because God has chosen you to teach, and maybe it's not because maybe you can't sing, but you can do other things. I won't say who can't sing. Maybe you can't, you know, those reasons that you work behind the scenes in a different role is because God chose you to do that. Each of us are just to be involved personally connecting people to faith, but some people are gifted at inviting people to go and do things, right? You know, there's certain people in our lives that they run into somebody in the grocery store like, "Oh, you should come to church." And other people are like, "I would take about 2 years of talking to somebody before I feel comfortable inviting them to go do something like that." Some people are just gifted in that area. The person who has the gift of sharing to God may be more productive than all the sermons in the world. Regardless of our place in the body, we have to remember this morning that we are important. Turn to the person, look them in the eye, turn to somebody, say, "You're important." Yeah, that's like I'm saying. I'm not just saying metaphorically. Do it. I'm like saying, and really mean it. You're like, "Oh yeah, I'll do that later." No, like right now. It's fun, right? That's pretty fun. You're not any more important than anybody else. Turn and do that. No, don't do that. I love that idea. It's such a hard, different idea, right? It's both like we're so important, we're so special, but at the same time, it's not. And that's what Paul kind of gets at. We're all special and nothing special at the same time. That's awesome or terrifying. But I encourage us this morning never to look down on your place in this body. Realize what an honor and privilege it is to be chosen by God to do anything that God wants us to do. And then we can always do it to the best of our ability. There were some at Corinth who were very insecure about their place and they felt they were insignificant. There were others who thought that they were more important and things couldn't happen without them. But they were wrong. There's this great balance between these things. Whoever you are in this church, we can't do it alone. There's not one person who can do it alone. We're not a one-person show. We are Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young before he left to go solo. We all need each other in order for this church to function properly, but not just properly, to be the church that it's called to be. Not me, not you, not nobody is more important than anyone else than what we're here to do. And as part of God's body, we work together. We have many faithful people, and for that I am truly thankful. But just think about what this church would be like without those people, without the people that we just said you're important to, without people that are willing to serve. Think about all the ways that we do all those different things, you know, music and grounds and maintenance and building and, you know, music, all those other things. You know, if we didn't have the music, we'd have Chuck on kazoo. No offense, Chuck. But come on, Chuck on kazoo. There's nobody, you know, but if we didn't have Chuck to run the video and things, it wouldn't happen. We don't have ushers. It would be complete chaos. There wouldn't be, if there was no deacons, we wouldn't have things that were going. There weren't people who managed the money, we wouldn't be able to pay the bills, and I can go on and on. And if I didn't cover you, outreach, not doing its outreach thing, and Nitwits not doing, all the people, everybody not doing their thing, it wouldn't happen. It would all be a mess. So let's not get to the point where we feel we're indispensable or irreplaceable. There's truly a place for everyone, and everyone needs to be in their place. Like I said, the goal of this sermon for us to gain perspective on our place in the body, that Jesus Christ is the head of the body. We have a God-given gifts, ministries, and responsibilities, and we're just called to be using those things. This great band, Casting Crowns, has a song about the body of Christ, and it says, if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? The reason is that these things are not happening is because there's a place for everyone, but everyone's not in their place. If you're not using your spiritual gifts, then there's no better moment than now. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, or if you think you don't have them, you do, and I will tell you what they are. If not, I will find it. But will we link shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters and get back to work that we've been called and equipped to do? I can assure you that every single one of us, there's a place for us. And we, the other parts of Christ's body, need you to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. There are lost people who can be reached when we're serving where we're serving. There are leaders who can be encouraged when you're serving where you're serving. There are Christians who can be strengthened when you're serving where you're supposed to be serving. There's no limit to what we can accomplish for the kingdom and for everyone if we're serving where we're serving. Amen. Amen.